you come with children and they're not at the side of you, can you get them and put them up the side of you? There's no children allowed in the back room or in the side of you. Just because we've had a few complaints and we're trying to keep a tight ship if we can. Because the people are dead set on getting rid of us. So we're in a piece of scripture tonight that I've heard mentioned and talked about for years. I've quoted, I've preached tonight, but tonight we're just going to have a look and we're going to try and understand. Not that it's ever been preached wrong. Try and understand what the Bible's talking about tonight. Where God has set boundaries for us, or commandments, or things that He's asking us to do, and the reason why the Lord has given us commandments or asked us to do things. The reason why Paul talks certain things. Why the Holy Spirit led Paul to speak and write about certain things to the church. Same on the iPad that I can't get rid of. Don't worry about that. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. You would have heard this before, and as a Christian we know these things. But we're just going to read down, and then we're going to have a time of prayer in a minute. But bear with me, don't switch off, because you've probably heard this a million times. It says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now then, in return for the same, I speak to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light and darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? Let's pray. Let's ask, maybe in the Lord, pray the Lord to speak to you, to speak through me, to use me tonight as well. Jim, can you turn this up? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you, my God, and we glorify your wonderful name. Lord, we thank you, my God, for who you are, for what you've done, my God, and we lift your name on high. Lord, for there is none like you, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, what your word is saying. Help us to live by it. Help us to surrender to it, my Lord, that the ministry of the word will take over our lives. And we will understand the importance and the encouragement that's been given here, my Lord, and the offer, the promise, my Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, sometimes we hear these things, and I've heard people say, I heard a fellow say to me once, he said, listen, he said, I believe I'm a Christian, I'm not in a cult. So I go around with unsaved people, and I said, there's nothing wrong with being in the company of unsaved people, to a certain degree. And he went, well, I like going to nightclubs of unsaved people, and drinking. I said, well, the problem is you're unsaved, that's the problem. You're not a Christian mixing with unsaved people. You do things like you're unsaved yourself. You need Jesus. And sometimes, as Christians, even in young life, as a young Christian, through hearing this preacher all the time, I didn't quite understand what my relationship was supposed to be to the world around me. To my unsaved family. Because what this is definitely not saying is,
If you get saved, you've got an unsaved husband and wife, give them the elbow. Stop saying that. Right? And that excuse has been used. I've heard that. I've heard people talk about other people say that to them. It's not saying if you get saved and you've got people who you love and they're not Christians, that you can't love them, family members, friends. You can't be around them. You can't even be in the same company as them. Remember, the Bible preaches separation, not isolation. You ever seen a little group of Christians go like weirdos because they won't mix with no one or go anywhere? There's only three or four of them, and they're the only people in the world who are saved, apparently. That's what isolation does. Separation means we're different. So understanding what Paul's trying to say, let's just get into it, try and understand what should our relationship be as Christians, as ambassadors for Christ, as a light of the world, to our families who are not saved, to our loved ones, to our husbands and wives, to our children, and to the world around us. How should we conduct ourselves, and what type of relationship should we have for them? That'd be handy to know, wouldn't it? It'd be good to know that one. So let's just read. Verse 11 says, O Corinthians, we have spoken you openly to you. Our heart is open wide. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak to his children, you also be open. So apparently what's going on here is that some of the Corinthians were not happy with Paul. Paul goes all the way through the letter. He don't want to ruffle no feathers earlier on and chastise them, it seems to be. But at this point of the letter, he's speaking to the Corinthians, and he says a little short break, and he puts them right on saying, because apparently, church history tells us that there are people in the church amongst the Corinthians who are not happy with Paul, because Paul had promised to come to them and couldn't, because something had happened. And they was expecting him to come, and they was a little bit, had their nose bit out of joint over it, because there was people there, probably they reckon people who called Judaizers, who were people who claimed to be Christians, but still practiced the law as well. And they were saying to the other Christians there, Paul don't care about you. He don't love you. Now remember, this is the man who went to him, preached the gospel. He's got stoned and beaten and everything happened to him for the sake of preaching the gospel here in other places. This man has proven himself with love for these people over and over and over again. And the Paul's opponents at Corinth, they've stirred the people up to make them think that Paul didn't care about them and that his ministry towards them was to restrict them. That Paul only writes letters and put rules and regulations on you. And a little by the way, sometimes we can feel like that. Sometimes a brother or a sister might come to you or someone in leadership in the church and they might say, that's something that you shouldn't be doing. And some of us straight away would be offended by that and feel like, well, all these want to do is put restrictions on us. God give laws. God give commandments. But it was never to restrict the people or suffocate their life. It was to give them long life in the land. They was to make them grow as Christians and believers. And wouldn't that be the same in your own, wouldn't that be the same in your own world of your own children? Would you not teach your children what's right? For what reason would you teach children what's right? So they might have a good life and live a good life, wouldn't you? And go on in a proper way and live a good life and be healthy and be well. If you see your children abusing themselves and living a wrong, long life and burning the fuse at both ends, would you not say to them, stop, don't do that? Well, surely we have an Heavenly Father who tells us the same thing, don't we? So Paul's going to go in here and give a commandment, and it can feel restricting, like it's denying us of something, and maybe the Corinthians felt like that. But what was the purpose of it? Paul was saying to these people, look, our heart has been open to you all along. I love you. Basically what that verb meant, my heart is open to you, it meant I love you. With everything in me, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I haven't withheld my affection from you. He said, in fact, you withheld your affection from me. Because you're allowing other people to put me down and say things about me that ain't true. Now, because of the love and the devotion and the dedication that Paul has shown towards the Corinthians, he's saying, look, I've been open to you. I've bought my whole heart with you. I haven't hid anything. You know exactly who I am, what I've said, how I live, how I act. Now, I'm asking you to be open now that I talk to you about this certain thing I've heard about. Remember, the letters have been written to deal with problems that's within the church. So there must be a problem here within the church that these people have got saved, they're filled with the Spirit, but they're still carrying on with the same people in the same way, in their same lives, living that same lifestyle, mixing in. And Paul has to talk to them about it. About how they should have the proper relationship they should have towards the people who are not Christians. He's saying, look, receive what I'm saying to you. Accept it. Accept what I'm saying to you. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? When Paul is saying do not be yoked together with unbelievers, he's using a teaching from Deuteronomy 22 verse 10, where in the Bible it says you shouldn't use an ox. You know what an ox is, didn't you? Like a big bull, a big cow. You shouldn't use an ox and a donkey to plough a field. Now, you know, like a bit of harness or something like that, or a yoke was like a piece of wood, a plank that would go across the shoulders of an ox, and behind it the plough would be put. Well, when you yoke two animals together, you connect them, you hitch them together. Like when the men are trying to train a young horse to pull a wagon or pull a cart, they might put it up alongside an older horse, and that was his job. Do you know what I mean? When we had dogs, we had lurchers. If we had an older dog that knew his job, we'd slip it like that, you'd slip the young ones in to learn them. You'd put them together in a partnership, so one could learn off the other. When he's saying don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, the understanding they would have had of this is from Deuteronomy, where it says, don't put an ox and a donkey together. Don't yoke them together to plough a field. Why? Because they're two different animals. And they pull in two different ways. An ox can be very submissive. And even though it's strong and big and powerful, it can be controlled. Where a donkey, what they call an ass, can be stubborn and hard to control. It wants to do its own thing. It don't want to do the work if it don't want to do it. A donkey will lay down on the ground. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because they're two different animals. They pull two different ways, and it only makes the ploughing more difficult. What he's saying is, the job that you've got to walk with the Lord is going to be even harder if you're yoked together with someone who don't think like you, who's not interested in the things you're interested in. Just in the same way Paul was saying this, don't make the mistake and hitch or join a believer to an unbeliever. Whether that be by what? In what manner is he talking about? Concerning what? Well, he's definitely talking about courtship, young people, marriage, partnership, contracts, someone who's already saved, joining their self together, hitching their self together, yoking their self together with an unbeliever. So, I remember a young girl come to me once and went, I'm seeing this fella, or this fella wants to call me, right? He's not a Christian. This girl was a lovely Christian. But I'm praying about it and seeing what the Lord wants. And I said, what are you praying about? Something that God's already told you. Why? Don't pray about things that the Bible says don't do, because the Bible's already said don't do it. She went, I said, babe, the Lord's already said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, how about if someone, we suppose we'll cover this in the question time, but there's different circumstances, isn't there? How about if two people's unsaved? They're courting already. They're talking about getting married, and they're courting. I don't believe if one gets saved, they should automatically just say, well, I'm saved now and you're not, so like, last 18 months out of the window, you know what I mean? Last 12 months, I've got to get rid of you now. You know what I mean? I don't believe, because they've entered into that they was already unsaved. This is talking about someone who's already saved, who knows the truth, then entering in and chaining themselves, binding themselves up, joining themselves together with someone's unsaved. So whether it be courtship, marriage, but they might get saved, they might do. But they might not. They might torture you all your life and not want you to go to church. They might get saved, but they might not. Partnerships.
Now, this don't often happen amongst us, but I heard a man talk about running a business. He was in a contract with a man to run a business, but it was before he got saved. He had a contract with this man, they ran a business together. That partnership stayed because he'd already given his word and made the deal before he was a Christian. He never seemed to be set loose after, but he was wise towards the other person. But being a Christian and having unsaved partnerships, work partnerships, contracts, businesses, it don't work. I've seen it a million times, and I didn't need to see it to know it didn't work, because the Bible says don't do it. This is what this is talking about. Do we understand that? Amen? Do you understand that? This is what this is talking about. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's a mistake. Because they're why? Because they're two different animals. Because I know this. When you're saved, when we get saved, we think differently than what we used to, don't we? We speak differently. Our desires change. Our life changes. The things that I teach my children, I know if I was an unsaved man, I'd teach them different things. So when you partner up with that person, that person could have an influence over you and cause you to compromise and do things you want to do. The amount of times I've had young men come to me and say, look, I'm working with an unsaved fellow who's a good friend of mine, I'm saved, I'm walking with the Lord, I've had a week's work, and it's turned into a month's work, and 6 months' work, and I'm thinking he's going to take a job and he scalped someone and I'm in on it. But I never told the lie. I said, yeah, but if Gavin's turned up, who's going to get Lil? Both of you are just in. Or both of us. Then you're in them, aren't you? You're accountable. Then things happen. Because people who are unsaved ain't bad people. We're not better than anybody else. We're just called to be different. Amen? They've got different desires than us. Before I was a Christian, I wouldn't have bothered about telling a lie. I wouldn't bother about having anyone over. I wouldn't bother about conning anyone. But when I get saved, I think differently, I act differently. And he's saying that you've been pulling contrary to one another. And you're going to cause yourself, like the ox and the donkey, it'll make the work harder, make ploughing the field harder. It'll make the walk harder. Because I know this. I would love to say that my influence is stronger, my godly influence, the Spirit of God that's within me, my Christian life, would be stronger than if when I mix with unsaved people. I would be let's put it this way. When I'm around unsaved people for too long, they ain't doing no harm, they're just being talking like unsaved people talk. I start sounding like them more than they start sounding like a Christian. I start getting caught up in what they're talking about more so than them talking about the Lord. Have you experienced that? And that's what he's saying. This is a warning. Don't do it because it'll affect your walk. And we can see that as a restriction. Well, I can't go around the unsaved family. No. Go and visit them. Spend 24 hours a day with them. But do yourself a favour. Don't go to the pub with them because you're going to end up getting drunk. Don't go touring with them. Don't do the things they do. Don't act the way they act. In fact, shine a light for Jesus. The Bible doesn't talk about completely isolating yourself from unsaved people. We have families that we need to love and pray for and be a testimony to lead them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, amen? But you're not going to do it by being like them or having partnerships with them. As Christians, we have different masters, different beliefs, a different way of living, a different way of working, different rules that govern our life. It says, for what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? What those who try to keep the law, the moral law of God, those who try to be obedient to God, what fellowship can we have with them who are breaking it every single day? Because that's what I did when I was a non-Christian. What communion has light with darkness? And we can sometimes think, well, this is saying that I shouldn't love people. It's not saying that. It's saying that we should join ourselves together with them and be like them and allow them to influence us, that we live like them and be like them. These two people are polar opposites, a believer and unbeliever, the righteous and the lawless, light and darkness. And then there's been freed from sin, be joined to those who love sin. What does light have in common with darkness, it says? And listen, I've had people say to me that I shouldn't talk to my unsaved family. And brothers and sisters, I just want to tell you that that's a lie from the devil. And I want to tell you something else as well. When God gives you a family, he gives you something wonderful. He might give you something torturous, depending on who your family is. You know what I mean? But from my experience, God has given me something wonderful when he's given me a family. And I'm talking about mums and dads, aunts and uncles, cousins. A big family of people that I've been close to and love. And still love. But I also love Jesus. Amen? And I know the best thing I can do for my family is live a life for Christ. That they won't think I'm Christian. I don't want them to think I'm Christian. But that they might see Jesus in me and say, you know what? I want what he's got. I'll have some of that. God calls us to be separate from the world, not isolated from it. Evangelism causes us to go into the world, but not be like it. What Paul's talking about here is being joined together with unbelievers in such a way that it would affect your life and saying, don't do it. He says, and what a call, verse 15, as Christ with Belial. Or what part as a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement as the temple of God with the temple of idols? You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Paul explains to the Corinthians that they shouldn't be joined or yoked together with unbelievers because of what they are and who they belong to. He's saying don't be joined together with them because they worship idols, demons, and you worship a true and living God. Don't be yoked together with them because you have me. Because I've made my own in you. You have become the temple of the living God. When we get saved by the Holy Spirit, God by the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. His presence lives in me. The presence of God lives in me. God by his Holy Spirit comes and lives in me. When I repent and call upon his name and ask him my life, God comes and lives in me. One of the reasons he gives for me not getting yoked together with unbelievers is because he lives in me. Because he will dwell in me and be in my life. I'm not to bring idols into the temple of God. And in fact, in the Old Testament, when the Jewish nation, when Israel went against God and worshipped the foreign gods, God looked at it like adultery. Like they was his wife and he was her husband. And he looked at it like adultery, like they was cheating on him. Do you not know the Bible says that we belong to a jealous God? How can we yoke ourselves to those who worship idols? How can we partner up with those who worship idols when we belong to a holy and righteous and living God? A reason he gives that we should do this is because we belong to him. And he lives in us. By having partnership and fellowship with unsaved people, it may cause us to bring idols into the temple. We might start worshipping the things they worship. In the Old Testament, God said to Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. The wisest man who ever lived. No one had more money and more wisdom and more power than Solomon had. King Solomon. And God said to him, listen Solomon, don't add to yourself armies. Because if your army's too big and you win a battle, everyone will give the glory to you. Make sure your army's small, so when you win the battle, I get the glory. God gets the glory. And he said, don't add to yourself wives. Don't add to yourself wives from amongst the foreign nations because they worship foreign gods and they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon never listened. Solomon had all the wisdom in the world. Solomon could rule a kingdom with the wisdom of God. He couldn't apply it to his own life. That was his biggest failure. And he never listened and he took himself loads of foreign wives. And in the end, he started making all the places where they worship God and putting up false idols and worshipping all the foreign gods. He worshipped them himself.
he fell from the grace of the Lord, fell away from God. Solomon done terrible things. He had a good start, a bad finish. Because sin creeps in. God is not giving. God is not saying this because he wants to burden you or rob you or your children or your family, let your children have an husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a wife, rob you of a life. He's not saying this because he don't want you to go nowhere or do nothing, trying to stop you from earning money or making friends or having a life. God ain't saying don't be going together with unbelievers for this reason. But it's a warning as an inevitable outcome that those who join themselves together with unbelievers, they will compromise their Christianity. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. The warning's there. Don't be misled. If you go down this road, more than you... Well, if I do, I'll go to the pub with the boys and I'll have a Coke and I'll tell them about Jesus because they won't come to church. I'll tell them about Jesus and they'll all get saved. We're not supposed to gamble as Christians. I'm not a gambling man. But that £50 says he comes out of the pub drunk. And he ain't won no one. Oh, I was doing so well to someone, but I don't know, vodka and Red Bull, yeah, that's years ago. Yeah, that, God's, it's a warning, not for restriction, not to arm us, but to warn us to say, if you go down this road, this is what's going to happen. He says, therefore, so because of these things, verse 17, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be your father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. He's saying, therefore, so because of these things, because I don't want you to be yoked together with unbelievers, because you have nothing in common, because it's going to affect your life, because I'm your God and I live in you, because of all these things, we should be unequally yoked together with unbelievers because we belong to him, because we're his temple. He says, come out from amongst them, be separate, be different. But look at the promise that God is making here. Come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. He's saying, the Lord is saying, separate yourself, cleanse yourself, and I will receive you. You can get closer to me. You can have a deeper relationship with me. God isn't saying anything to us. Don't have anything to do with unsaved people because this is the rule and that's it. That's the rule. That's it. He's saying this for a reason. He's saying, come away from them and have me. Don't have the world. Don't have the same desires as the world. Don't get yourself caught up in the same thought and the same thing and the same rat race as the world. Don't connect yourself to them. Come away from what's unclean and have me. Have more of me in your life. I promise you, I'll be like a father to you and you'll be like my sons and daughters. I'll dwell in you and be with you. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful thing to be offered today when God says, listen, be separate from them and have me instead. Be separate from them and have more of me. When I separate myself from the world, I'm separating myself from the world so that I can separate myself to God. So I can be his and he can be mine. I'm separating myself from the world. Come out, cleanse yourself, put that to one side. I'm separating myself from the world, not so I can just stand there on my own and be robbed of having a good time or a good life. I'm being obedient to God and separating myself from the world and saying, Lord, I want now to come closer to you, Lord. So cut ties with all this. Got rid of all the things that's keeping me from you. The things that's taken up my mind and my thoughts and my time and my efforts. Because I'm running after the same things they are. I'm being influenced the same way they are. They're unsaved, they're running after it, they're getting me at it as well because I'm listening to it and I'm involved in it. When I unyoke myself from the world, I yoke myself to the Lord. What does Jesus say? Come take my yoke upon you. But my burden is easy. It's light. God is saying, have less of the world and have more of me, hallelujah. That's the promise. Joseph, have less of the world, but you're going to have more of me. Have less of the world, but you're going to have more of me. Jesus said, all those who are thirsty and drink of me will never thirst again. Those who are hungry of me will never hunger again. I'm the living water. I'm the bread of life. Lord, let me have less of the world so I can have more of you. This ain't a restriction or a burden or a chastisement. This is a promise and an offer of deeper, greater fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he finishes this, chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, therefore, because if you have less of the world, you can have more of me, and I promise you that. So therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Paul then goes on to explain what we must do if we want to achieve this goal, knowing God more. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us, but we have a responsibility to play our part. What must I do? Therefore, having these promises, so because I've promised you this, because I've said you can have, if you have less of the world, you can have more of me, and you're beloved, you belong to me, I'm asking you to cleanse yourself. Let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Cleanse ourselves. And I'll tell you what that means. The Holy Spirit does a work in my life. You've heard me say this many times before, that our hearts, I believe, this is how I understand it, because this is the only way I can understand it. So I'm a bit thick, right? My heart is like a big hotel, right? She's a big boring one, right? It's got loads of rooms in it. And they're all locked up. Why do you laugh at that for, Bill? What's the funny about that? Right? All the rooms are locked up, and there's only an handle on the inside, and they're all filthy, rotten, dirty, ledge full of all different kinds of sin and rubbish. When I invited Jesus into my life, he come and lived inside that hotel, and he come into one room at a time, and he's cleaning me up. Hallelujah. He's cleaning me up. I'm a work in progress. I'm saved, being saved, and I'm going to be saved. I'm a work in progress. The Holy Spirit is still doing work in my life today, and I thank Him that He has. That God was not willing to leave me as I was, but do something different in me. But He's saying here, don't wait for the Holy Spirit. Cleanse yourself. Put the rubbish off from away from you. So I tell you what we like to do, whether it be with anything, anything at all, anything that we shouldn't have in our lives as Christians at all, and I'm not picking on anyone, it could be tubing. Because if you've been saved years and you're still tough, it should be something you should be seeking to let go of. Drinking. Smoking. Drinking. If you're a Christian and you've been saved years and you're still drinking, you're still getting tipsy, should be something you should be seeking the Lord to give up on. Choring. Having a mace. Having a man. Got a man swear in the yard somewhere. Go on. Fiat car outside, things moving. What colour is it, eh? A black Fiat. 663-ish, just help me move it, eh? Sorry, my sister. Could be something, having a mace, having a man somewhere, got someone squared somewhere in the yard to get a bit of extra stuff. You got something lined up, you got to get a bit of metal somewhere, you can do this, you can do that. You might have a grinder somewhere or something like that. There's things in your life, and we do this one. Well, I've prayed about it, and when the Lord's ready to take it from me, I'll give it up. I'll give it up, and then we hold it like a pet. We're petting it. Oh, I'll give it up, but we can't part for it, because our life depends on it. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, God will come and take many things out of your life. But some things He wants you to sacrifice. Something He wants you to give up.
God came into my life and took many things. And I thank God he did, because I wouldn't have had the strength. God came in and cleaned my life up and turned it upside down like he has used. But then there's other things God has said, lay at my feet. Lay at my feet. Sacrifice. Part of being a Christian is sacrifice. And let me tell you something, I shouldn't even call it that, because all we're getting rid of is rubbish. You got a fridge broken home in your kitchen, you ain't throwing away St. Christian, you're throwing away the rubbish. When we give them things over to the Lord, no matter what it is, them lies, that deceit, them bits of paper that we sign and say, them things we talk about, whatever they are, he says, cleanse yourself. Put them away from you. Brothers and sisters, let's be the sort of people that are seeking God and saying, Lord, I'll give this to you, because I know you don't want me to have it in your life. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of Satan in your life. Give it over to the Lord. And watch what he replaces it with, hallelujah. Watch what he replaces it with. Watch what he gives you. If salvation wasn't enough, if having a relationship with God wasn't enough, if God hasn't given us enough by saying, I promise you, Joseph, get rid of this, clean yourself up, and I think you have more of me, Joseph. What an offer! What an offer! Get rid of this, you can have more of me. I invite you, come have more of me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the things, is that, you know what that means on the other end? The things we keep, hang on to them, they're probably keeping us further away from the Lord than what we should be. Brothers and sisters, God can deliver. God does take rubbish out of our life. But he desires sacrifice as well. There's things we have to give over to the Lord and lay at his feet. He won't rip them from us. We have to give them into his hands. Let's cleanse ourselves today, that we might get closer to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I praise you, my God, and I glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. Lord, I lift your name tonight and ask you, Lord, just to bless this place, Lord, tonight. Lord, give us the strength and the understanding, Lord, that we might bring glory to your name, that we might get closer to you.